And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are found at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed the podcasts all week long as we have been taking a look together at the book of Daniel. And today, no exception, we'll move into chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. And we'll take a look at what is commonly referred to as the handwriting on the wall. And what was it that was revealed to King Belshazzar by the prophet Daniel? A fascinating story and a fascinating account as we continue to develop this amazing Old Testament prophet's book. And once again, we will take a peek at the perils of pride that not only took place in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar, but now we will see it repeated again in the life of King Belshazzar, and how instrumental Daniel was used by God in bringing to his attention what the handwriting on the wall was all about. It's going to be a great broadcast, so we hope that you'll stay tuned. And, of course, share your thoughts with us. The comments section is available to those of you that are tuning in today and would like to weigh in and share your thoughts. Please feel free to do that. Questions? Again, pose those questions as well, and we look forward to hearing from you as the program progresses. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Steve Schibelli will be your hosts. And Pastor Schibelli, again, we see the perils of pride taking root in yet another king in the great kingdom of Babylon.
Like father, like son?
I think that's the way it goes.
Is that how it works?
Or it could be grandfather. Many believe it was grandfather, but close enough.
Close enough is right. And as we look at this, just to give a quick review, the call and purpose of Daniel in Daniel 1, the vision of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2, the fiery first furnace test, Daniel 3, the second vision, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4, and then this feast in Daniel 5 and his son and what took place there. And we have reference to it because we often use that phrase, handwriting on the wall. Where did that come from? It came from this particular chapter. And this is so key. So Daniel is in the midst of an ungodly, wicked, evil kingdom. But God's going to use him there, and there's going to be changes that take place. So Belshazzar made a great feast. He had 1,000 lords there, and they were drinking wine. And the big problem here was not just the wine alone, but they were using the vessels of God's temple. They were using the vessels of God's temple. And it says they were praising their gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone, praising those gods. And all of a sudden, a man's hand appears on the wall, and that really shakes a lot of people. I think that would shake us today, right, if we saw the handwriting on the wall. Maybe we do see it in a certain aspect, but the actual revelation of the handwriting on the wall. And it said that no one could interpret it, so they brought Daniel in because he had a spirit in him. He had light. He had understanding. He had excellent wisdom. And I love it that Daniel would not receive any gift or reward. Like they were trying to give him something for if you interpret this, we're going to give you this and give you that. He said, no, keep it to yourself, you know. And we can see that as Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up, so was his son. And there was pride there and no glory to God at all. And so the man's hand and what was written there, and this is certainly famous even in the eyes of ungodly, unsaved people. And it said, numbered, your days are numbered. I mean, how'd you like to have that said to you? Your kingdom has been divided and it's going to be finished. Number two, you are weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. Number three, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And in chapter 5, verse 30, and the king was slain. So it absolutely came true. So numbered, your days are numbered. You've been weighed in the balances, and you've been found wanting, and your kingdom is divided. And, you know, as we look at the world today and we can see all kinds of maybe ungodly things that are taking place in places, in kingdoms, in countries and whatnot. And we have to also say, numbered, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. I mean, until Jesus comes back, your days are numbered. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and it will be divided. It will be taken down by God himself. Although it seems like, you know, nothing is taking place now, you know, except if you have a spiritual eye and spiritual understanding. But this is really so interesting. And praising, they were praising the gods, of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. And interesting. People, maybe they would not say that they are actually praising the gods of some of these things, but as a life is geared towards all of these things, what are they actually saying? That these are just as important or more important than God himself, you know? And even as it worked its way into Christianity, we have so much of Christianity talking about possessions, power, recognition, and all these things. If you have gold, silver, brass, you have all these things, then you must be spiritual. God is giving them to you. And that's not necessarily true at all. It can be that God blesses people, for sure. He can do that. But there's people that are ungodly and claim that, well, why would they have all this unless they were favored by God? And that's not the case. So the king's having a feast, 1,000 lords drinking wine in the vessels, using the vessels of God's temple, praising their gods, and here comes the hand. Mm. Here comes the hand. And we even read later on, the king was slain. Mm. Excuse me.
Amazing to think that while all of this great celebration is going on inside the kingdom, the Medes and the Persians are outside the walls of this kingdom. Hmm. And they're ready to invade. I mean, they're coming. Just kind of fascinating. But you have in this great feast that Belshazzar, you know, he started it. He originated it. He was the one that planned it. You have idolatry, great immorality, pride, the desecration of the items that were taken from Jerusalem, from the temple, and used in this feast. I mean, you know, some scholars suggest that this was just, you know, it was more than just a feast, that perhaps like orgies, great and gross immorality. These are the things, of course, that God would bring judgment upon. Mm-hmm. And it happened. It happened in this feast. And it's interesting because you noted that, you know, the message was your days are numbered. And yet for you and I and for believers everywhere, we're told in Psalm 90 verse 12, we're told to number our days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because even for the believer, not in the same context of what we're looking at here with this great feast that Belshazzar promoted, but in our own lives, our days are numbered.
Sure they are.
Right?
Yeah.
And if on that's earth, the case, anyway. Right, on earth. But we should apply our hearts unto wisdom, redeem the time that God has given us, and not waste it in riotous living. You know, it makes you think of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Who, you know, stepped away from his father's home and went into a far country. What did he experience? Riotous living.
Yep.
He went into the world that offered him this great feast, perhaps along the lines of what Belshazzar was participating in. And where did he end up? In a pig pen. Right? Regretting it and making the decision to leave.
Yeah, of all places, a pig pen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Belshazzar, he did not come to his senses.
No.
In fact, what we read in Daniel 5:23, we read that God said to him, you did not honor, Daniel said to him, God, you did not honor God, the God who holds you in his hand, has your life and all your ways. Wouldn't you say that reverence for God in life and reverence for his holiness is crucial? Aren't we called by God to honor him in all that we do and acknowledge his sovereignty over our lives?
Well, we see a world, even a Christian world, that's going another way.
Yeah.
They honor so many things, but do they honor God, his purpose, his plan, his authority, his power, his life, you know, the church, Do they pay respect even to Israel, as we are told to just honor Israel as God's nation? And there's absolutely no honor given, and a world that's paganistic and ungodly. And that can be taking place right in our own blessed country, sad to say. We've had a country that for many, many decades honored God and really walked with God and believed the Bible and Christian schools and whatnot. And now we see it, it could be going the other way. I don't know. I'm not a person that can evaluate that exactly. But it just seems like there can be people that, especially people in the hierarchy of the country, that really pay no mind to God at all, as if he doesn't even exist and whatnot. And one day, sad to say, guess what? Everybody comes to the end.
Yeah.
Everybody comes to the end. Just like Belshazzar would come to his end, Nebuchadnezzar came to his end, that one day there'll be an account given. And people say, oh, no, there's nothing at all. There's nothing after this, you know, at all. And that's what they're hoping.
Can they be sure?
Yeah.
Can they be
They're
sure?
They're not really. Yeah. They'll just say they are. They'll say that's the way it is because it'll appease their conscience and give them some kind of comfort at all. Like, I'm going to live like crazy and like hell on earth because there's nothing after. There'll be, if I live like that, there's nothing going to take place where I'm going to be punished or I'm going to, suffer the consequences of how I live. That's how they think,
yeah.
You know. But little do they know what's coming, you know. Numbered. Your days are numbered.
And isn't it, there's a kind of a vivid reminder here that our God, he communicates with us in so many different ways. We've heard this proverbial phrase repeated by unbelievers. You know? People have said it. Unbelievers have said it. Don't you see the handwriting on the wall?
Yeah, all the time.
I mean, they're quoting the Bible and they don't even realize
that. They don't realize it. There's a lot
but
of things like
the message behind that is that God communicates with us, whether he does it through scripture, through prayer, through circumstances, through an accident, through trouble. And hopefully we're going to learn to respond to God with obedience and read the handwriting on the wall.
This is so key and so important because God will always send those initiations. Say, I'm not going to church and I'm not going to read my Bible. Well, God, that's not going to limit God. He can still be coming with initiations that will get our attention.
Yes.
You know, really get our attention. And people that have gotten saved have understood that. They had no desire to follow God, no desire to be a Christian at all, no desire to walk with God. And all of a sudden, things happened in their life.
Yep.
Things happened. And it could be, I read about a sports star one time, and he couldn't play anymore because of injuries, and it got his attention that, you know, thinking that this was going to be his lifelong dream, and it would go on for 20 years or something, and that would be how he would be remembered, and something else happened. Something else took place, you know. Mm. And so there's all kinds of ways the enemy will give us opportunities to just go after things that really have nothing to do with God. Mm. And that's a sad thing, you know, because people end up chasing the wind. They chase the wind.
Sure.
They can't catch the wind.
Yeah.
You know? But numbered, your days are numbered. And like you said, that's true for all of us, you know?
Yeah.
And as we get a little bit older, maybe a 15, 20-year-old, 25, 30-year-old doesn't think much about that. You start heading up into the 70s and 80s. You start to I don't number my days. One time I did that. My wife said I was there with a calculator on the bed at night just trying to figure out how many more days I would live if I lived to be my mother's age, which was 93 or 94. She goes, put the stupid calculator away and go to sleep. She goes, you don't know if you'll make it through tonight.
That's right.
That's true.
We don't know. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love the fact that there are so many messages that can be sent to us from God.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, because God speaks through so many different things and through so many different ways and through so many different people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Isn't that the beauty of fellowshipping with other believers?
Yeah.
That in that fellowship, it's possible that God could be sharing a message with you from another believer.
Sure.
And the fact that you were hospitable, you invited him to your home, you had a meal with him, you were kind, and they brought a message.
And they might not even have known they were bringing a message.
Exactly.
They just were talking and speaking, and they didn't have the intention of bringing a message.
Yeah.
You know, like there's some people that do, they try to do it in a kind of a subtle way, but never even knew I was speaking about something that actually touched you, that your situation. I didn't even know about your situation, and you're telling me that in listening something changed, you know.
And how about the role of Daniel as a faithful witness while in Babylon? And again, we carry that over into practically speaking our own lives. I mean, despite Belshazzar's ignorance and arrogance, despite not having learned from his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, he continues to live this way. Well, sometimes it takes a godly person to step into our lives and to bring a word of warning. Perhaps it's just going to church and listening carefully to the message that comes from the pulpit, because I think of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 when he talked about God's word. Mm-hmm. And he also said that sometimes God's word warns us. Mm-hmm. So there are some warnings that can come from the pulpit. There's some edification, mm-hmm. some comfort, some strength, some courage, certainly, that's imparted from the pulpit, but sometimes some warnings. Mm-hmm. And how important is it that we learn to heed those warnings?
And to listen very clearly. Really, like this is for me. When I go to church, am I elbowing the person next to me saying, did you hear what he said? Yeah. No, I'm elbowing myself. Did you hear what the Word of God said and what kind of application it brings? And this is so key. And you know what? What I love about Daniel, too, he's in the midst of, like, you know, he's in Babylon. So ungodly, so evil, so ungodly. But you don't see him praying like, God, get me out of here. You know, he knows that he's been allowed by God to be there, and he wants to hear from God on how he can make a difference in somebody's life, how he can see change take place. You know, and he's gonna do it. And, like, you know, I hear people say all the time, this world is so wicked, it's so evil, and whatever, you know, this, all these things that are going on in our society and whatnot, and I just wish I could go to heaven. No, I want to be here to be a witness, to be a light to the nations. You know, some people are just praying, I want out of here. I want out, and I want out now, you know. And sometimes God grants that wish, that prayer request, you know. You know, it's just so interesting because I've heard people talk like that. I just can't wait till Jesus comes back. Well, Jesus is living in you, and you could make a difference in somebody's life so that when Jesus came back, he'd be coming for them too, because they're born again and you gave them a message of the gospel. So this is so key. And numbered, our days are numbered.
You know? Yeah. The role of being a faithful witness in this world today is oftentimes greatly undervalued.
Yeah.
But we need faithful witnesses in the midst of this world. Because I love what Pastor Stevens used to say, you know, the darker the night, the brighter the light.
The brighter the light, yeah.
Yes, the times are getting darker. Yes, it's becoming more and more difficult to boldly proclaim your faith and to walk with God closely. But at the same time, it's exactly what the world needs.
Yes.
Because the world takes notice of people that walk closely with God. And they take notice of someone whose life starts out, you know, proclaiming Christ. And then when they see the end of that life, they are still proclaiming Christ.
Yes.
You know, we can't underestimate the power of a faithful, faithful witness.
Mm-hmm.
And then how about the consequences of ignoring God? I mean, Belshazzar's fate was sealed because he already ignored the lessons from his predecessor, mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. And then Daniel 5, verses 22 and 23 says, but you, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
We can't afford to ignore God's past lessons, because if we do, it could certainly lead to some dire consequences in our lives. We've got to learn from our own history, mm-hmm. the history of others, and from Scripture to avoid repeating the same mistakes that others have made.
Do you think that's why some people don't read the Bible? Because they just don't want to be accountable to what they've read and heard? They just don't even want to read the Bible at all because, you know what? What it's saying is going to shake my life, going to change my life, so they don't even bother to look at it anymore. I mean, it's amazing what's happened, what's taking place. I remember when I went to school, there was a Bible in the classroom. There was a Bible in my desk, you know? And the teacher read the Bible. Well, that's a long time ago. We're talking about the 50s, you know. And when, I don't know when that was taken. When did that actually, when was that removed?
In the 60s.
In the 60s, okay. Mm-hmm. So I got a few good years in there.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
Yeah, good Bible teaching up until that time. Yeah, you know, people would look at the Bible and say, you know, I don't have time to read this ancient book, this piece of history. But listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He said, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I mean, just to read the book of Daniel, and to read in particular the fifth chapter, there's so much we can draw from this fifth chapter in the book of Daniel that would be so beneficial and profitable for our lives as believers in the world today.
And this was really, I think, really a satanic mocking of God himself, using Belshazzar, you know, taking God's vessels from the temple and drinking wine and drinking with them, praising their gods, you know. And really, it was quite an action that took place of arrogance, real arrogance, you know. It's kind of going far in this, and that night it was over. That's it. Take your last drink. You're gone.
Wow.
You're gone.
Shocking. Yeah. And that kind of underscores this whole idea, the urgency of proclaiming the gospel and the urgency for, you know, repentance. And when I say that word repentance, I'm not using it in a religious way. It just means to change your mind.
Yeah, change your mind.
You know, you live a life of unbelief. Well, turn from that and trust God and exercise faith in Christ. Because I think Belshazzar's story is kind of like a stark reminder of the urgency of the hour that we're living in. His refusal, Belshazzar's refusal to humble himself before God, that's what led to his downfall. And of course, the scripture reminds us, Peter would write 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is very patient with you, not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone would come to the knowledge of the truth.
Everyone.
He wants everyone to be. He's not willing that any should perish.
I mean, that's a pretty powerful statement. Not willing that any would perish. It's not the will of God that any person perish, not even one.
That's right. You know?
But they make choices with their will to just say no to God, to reject God. And it's interesting. We have a lot of response up there.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it. Kevin writes, Lord, whatever you do, please teach me about these principles. Jenny Perry has written to us, as being faithful to the one who called and sent you matters far more than being comfortable in a world that is rapidly running out of time. Words I read this morning from a faithful Israeli believer.
Wow.
That's a great word right there. Be faithful to the one who called you, sent you, matters far more than being comfortable in this world that is rapidly running out of time.
Rapidly.
Yeah. Know? Well, it makes me think of Revelation, the first chapter. The time is short.
Yeah, the time is short.
Absolutely.
And sometimes people just imagine, like, how do you know that today isn't your last day?
Wow.
You have no idea.
Mm.
You know, numbered, your days are numbered. And so do I want to live my life based upon this could be the last hour for me?
Mm.
You know, in other words, a walk with God. But, oh, no. I'll do that in the future. I'll do that. You know, I'm too young to, like, you know, go the way of God and, you know, give up this and not do this. And I'm not, you know, church, read my Bible. You know, when I get older, you may not get older.
That's right.
You may not get older. You have no idea what's taking place. You have no idea what God's thoughts are.
How about the Apostle Paul when he stood before Felix?
Yeah.
Felix listened to him and he said, you know what? I'll call for you in a more convenient season.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, that was Felix, his way of saying to the Apostle Paul, don't call me.
I'll call you. Without telephones.
Exactly. I'll call you.
I'll get in touch
and
with
and
you.
The question is obvious. Was there more convenient time? Did Felix ever meet again with Paul?
I don't think so.
I don't believe that happened. So we can't afford to let these opportunities pass by us. And those of us that are talking about these things today and those of us that are listening to what we're saying, if you've never made a decision to trust Christ, don't postpone it. I love what Aretha writes. She says, King Belshazzar's life was taken from him that night because he refused to deal with his pride.
That very night.
This night.
It wasn't even like, you know what, let's give it some time and see what happens. That was his appointed time. It's appointed unto men who wants to die. Then comes the judgment, you know.
Amazing.
So. Aretha, yes, for his pride, life was taken from him.
Yeah.
And
doesn't that sound like the rich man?
Yeah.
Luke chapter 12. He had it all together. Life was so
stored
good.
Stored up everything.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah.
What did he say? God said, this night.
Yeah.
He said to Belshazzar, this night. He says to everyone, this night, this day, This is your time to come home.
Our life is in the hand of God.
Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die.
Yeah.
That's an appointment that none of us will miss, right? No. Doctor's appointment, dentist's appointments. You know,
we'll miss them.
But an appointment with to get our taxes done. Don't miss that, friend, but make sure you get it done. But at the same time, our appointment with death, it will not be missed. And it could be sooner than we think. It certainly was for Belshazzar, wasn't it?
So Arbor says, Arbor in Albania, we are doing some outreach with Pastor David.
Yeah. In Tennessee.
Oh, in Tennessee.
Yeah,
okay.
Pastor David Wilczek.
Good.
Glad to hear that you've connected out there, Arbor, with Pastor David. He's a great man of God, and they have a wonderful ministry down there. And I think it's Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Murfreesboro.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
Murfreesboro.
Yeah. And, you know, Stephen Wells writes, too many people think they have plenty of time. It reminds me of a skit that we did years ago with our young people, Pastor Schibelli. We kind of played this out on the stage at a youth rally where the devil is sitting there and he's surrounded by his demons. And the devil says, how are we going to continue to deceive the world and to keep them from getting to know God? And the demons came forth, you know, and said, well, let's tell them, there's no heaven or there's no hell. And the devil said, no, they sense in their hearts that someday they will be judged by God. That's not going to work. And then another demon came up and he gave his ideas and the devil was disappointed and he chastened that demon. He said, that's not going to work. And another demon came up and gave his opinion. And the devil said, that's not going to work either, until finally one of the darkest demons made his way into the presence of Satan. And he says, I have the answer. And the devil said, what's that? He said, let's just tell them there's plenty of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Plenty of time.
And the devil laughed and in his ghoulish glee. And he said, that's the message we will bring to the human race.
Plenty of time.
They've got plenty of time.
I have no idea.
Belshazzar?
Yeah.
Did he have plenty of time?
Well, that night.
The rich man in Luke chapter 12, he didn't have plenty of time.
No one knows, you know. Yeah.
We could also say, Pastor Schibelli, and talk about the impact of a godly life.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's integrity and his faithfulness made a profound impact in Babylon. Couldn't we say the same thing about believers that are listening to us today?
Sure. Sometimes they get projections that, well, what difference will you make?
Yeah.
You know,
my life doesn't count.
You're just one person at this place of work, and there's like 25 other people. None of them believe. They're talking and what they're saying and what they're conversing about at the job is so ungodly. Like, you know, you might as well just go find another job. I worked in three prisons. Let me tell you, the conversation in prisons, I don't know what conversation was worse, the conversation of the guards that were guarding the prisoners or the prisoners themselves. It was kind of like both sides of the bars. It was nothing but trouble. And I would think to myself, like, this is an overwhelming situation. But I had one other believer there with me. Her name was Barbara Thomas. And she was born again, an elderly lady, about 60 years old. And is that elderly? Yeah, that's elderly. We would pray and we would talk. And God used it because the atmosphere was horrifying. So it was a wicked, evil atmosphere. And, you know, you're in a prison and the vulgarity and the things that people have done. You got people in there that have murdered people that have lived using narcotics and drunkenness and all kinds of criminals. Yet God could reach people in that place and God could make a difference. And we ended up opening up one or two homes for people that would get out of prison that really wanted to walk with God. You know, and they just wanted to change. So can make a difference. So Daniel could be there and he could either be intimidated by what was going on in Babylon and become like them, or he was going to just walk with God and be a vessel of honor unto God.
Yeah. Again, you can't underestimate the impact of a godly life. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be that someone says, well, I'm not in Babylon. I know, but you may be at work. You may be in school.
Yeah.
You may be in your neighborhood. You may be around your friends. Don't underestimate the impact of a godly life. Recently, we heard here at one of our church services, Pastor Schaller talked about the importance of being the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to go back to what you shared a moment ago, sometimes we cut ourselves short. We just mm-hmm. say, you know, I don't matter. My impact isn't going to be felt. Yeah. My godliness is not going to make a difference in the lives of other people. That's not true.
Self-analysis.
Exactly.
We live in self-analysis, satanic accusation, or the world looking at us and evaluating us. Self-analysis, world evaluation, satanic accusation, three enemies. And then we begin to think like, I'm a nobody.
Yeah.
I'm nothing, you know, and whatnot. And you can make a difference. Can you imagine leading one person to Christ has more value than attaining to everything you could ever imagine on this planet?
That's right.
You know, to becoming the richest person in the world, the person with the most power, the most recognition, right at the top.
Yeah.
And God would say, well, it means nothing at all in view of a lost soul.
Yeah. I mean, I, from time to time, will return to Massachusetts where I grew up. And for one reason or another, I may run into people that I knew when I became a believer. And you know what one of their first questions is? Are you still a believer? Are you still following Christ? Are you still going, you know, to church? Are you still believing in the Bible? And that's amazing because that means what we told them or what they saw 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago has left an impact on them.
Yes.
In other words, it's almost their way of saying, I hope you're still living that way because I want to find out if it's true. I want to find out if it lasts. I want to find out if it works.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they can make that deduction based upon whether or not we're still walking with God by faith.
And that is so interesting, you know. I worked in a prison one time, and it was prison for heavy-duty criminals. And I witnessed this one guy, and his father was a Christian and a pastor. And he said, I want nothing to do with God. And he was, like, swearing at me and yelling at me. And I just kept coming. Every 2 days I'd go and I'd say, hi, it's me again, Sam. It's me, you know. And he would get angry and whatnot. One day I went there and something had taken place in his life. And he ended up getting saved and became a great witness for the gospel in that prison. Though he would never get out of prison, but he said, this is my mission field. I'm going to be here and I'm going to be used by God here. And who knows what will take place through prayer. And believing in God and seeing what God can do with people. And all of a sudden, like Daniel in Babylon, you could become a very valid witness in a place that is filled with unbelievers. And you're the person they really need.
They need you
to be there. You think, I'm getting out of here. No, you need, the need is for you to be there and not to get out of there, you know?
Wow. It could be that in that job that you want to be free from, God may have you there for that purpose.
Yes.
Or that school, you know, it might be a university, and you think, why am I surrounding myself with these unbelieving, godless people? Well, perhaps God has you there to be a witness.
Exactly. What was Daniel doing? Do you have any other people there?
He was a faithful witness.
The three other Hebrew boys, right, and whatnot, but it seems like he had to stand alone so often in this situation.
And, yeah.
You know, that's one thing that, love coming to church, you know, and it's great, but, oh, boy, do I fear going to work the next day, you know. It should be a great honor and a great joy and a great privilege just to reveal Christ. And it's not like you have to try to make it happen. Just live.
Yeah, just be who God made you.
Just live who God made you to be, and it's such a contrast with how people are. Especially, I could say this, especially working in prisons. I mean, you can't even believe what goes on there, you know, what's taking place. But yet God can use it.
And we would be remiss if we didn't bring out the fact that in Daniel chapter 5, we could talk about the certainty of God's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned already Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Just as people are destined to die once, and after this, they face judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I read that verse, I think that's kind of frightening for people to hear because they think it actually kind of confirms what they have always believed about God. He only wants to judge me. He only wants to punish me. He's only out to get me. He's only out, you know, to wait until the hammer falls. But listen, Christ can set you free from that judgment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listen to the words of Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, shall never mm-hmm. come into judgment, but is already passed from mm-hmm. death unto life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to the broadcast today and you've never made a decision to trust Christ, this is the answer. God's provided a full mm-hmm. and free mm-hmm. salvation simply to be received on the basis of faith alone. Grace has provided it for you. All you need to do is ask Christ to come into your heart. And when you do that, you'll never be the recipient of God's divine judgment.
And everybody thinks about it, like when they think about salvation and receiving Jesus Christ, they think about what they have to do.
Nothing.
And it's been done.
It's done.
The done is better than the do. The done is like, you know, Jesus did it all. And he paid the penalty for our sins, you know. And what can we do? You know, some people think they have to be baptized. Some people think they've got to do good work. Some people think it's always a do. It's always a do this and do that, you know. And the do's never end, because when you leave one group of do's, you find another group of do's, and you just keep going around in circles until one day maybe you realize it's been done by God, and you find people that believe in the finished work.
Amen.
That it's been done by God. And this is Daniel understanding this in the midst of Babylon.
That's right.
In the midst of Babylon, that God has done it. God, and by the way, God has placed me here. You know, sometimes we look at situations in life, you know. How about just looking at it as an opportunity for you to be a great illumination of who God is.
And when you talk about the finished work that way, and how easy it is to believe, I can hear the opponents saying, "Up, there you go. You're doing it again. You're telling people about a gospel that all they have to do is believe. Easy believism, yeah. They call it." Well, honestly, Pastor Chiavelli, the easiest thing I ever did in my life was to believe on the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
Because by believing, I didn't do anything. I received something.
You received someone.
It was the
right?
gift of yeah. righteousness. What do you have to do to get a gift? Last time I checked, you just have to receive it.
You mean you didn't get people asking you for money when they gave
yeah.
you Christmas?
Yeah, no, here's the gift. Let me know when you can pay for it. No, it's the gift of righteousness.
The gift of
so we want to encourage our listeners today, if you've never received that gift, you know, the wages of sin, yeah, that's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, what we read about today in Daniel chapter 5 is a reality. Mm-hmm. You know, the handwriting on the wall for many people, it's already there. Take a look at it.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, am I ready to face fear? You think of Simeon in the Gospels, mm-hmm. right? Luke chapter 2. He said, God told him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he met Joseph and Mary in the temple, and God said, that is the Messiah. That is
right.
the Lord's Christ.
Right.
And you know, and afterwards, what did he say? He took him up, he blessed him, and he said, now I can die. Now I can depart.
Him.
My eyes have seen God's salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. You can't face death in the face without fear,
mm-hmm.
unless you've had a glimpse of who Christ is.
And you know what? The handwriting's in the book.
Yeah, that's right.
Handwriting's on the wall, but the handwriting of God, God's handwriting, God's mind, is in this Bible. How many times have people just said, well, read the Bible. I'll go to church, but read the Bible. Do we realize what's there? And how God can guide us, a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So just open that Bible. Come to church on Sunday.
Mm.
Maybe you have your own church. Go to your church.
Yes.
Okay? But if you don't, 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 9 o'clock Sunday morning, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and then 6:30 on Sunday night, and Wednesday night at
7 p.m.
7 o'clock. That's right. I always want to say 6:30, but it's 7
yeah.
o'clock.
And you will always be welcome. So come on
yes.
out if you don't have your own local assembly. If you do, as Pastor Chiavelli said, go there and hear a glorious message. And again, don't need the handwriting on the wall. You can read the handwriting in the book.
Handwriting in the book.
Man can't live by bread alone. Takes
every word
that comes forth from the mouth of God. Hey, friends, thanks so much for listening to today's Grace Hour podcast on Daniel chapter 5. Looking forward to being with you next week for a whole new week of broadcasts live right here on the Grace Hour. We hope you'll tune in then, and we hope you have a great weekend. May God bless you until next week at the same time.